first 11 chapters of Romans, he's given this layout about how people should live their lives. He talks about all different things in it, about the doctrines, about the therefores and the herefores and the wherefores. But when you get to chapter 12, he lays it out for us as Christians, how we are to live our lives today. I think starting in a new year, how many of y'all have already made resolutions for the new year? Come on, anybody? Be honest, okay. How many have already broken those resolutions? Okay, good, all right. We're all in the same boat. I don't make resolutions because I don't keep them. You know, I think it's just something to make us think maybe we're going to do something that we don't do. But if you look at Romans chapter 12, I want you to take to heart this morning that you take this passage of Scripture after I preach from it, and I want you to go home and I want you to look at it again. And I want you to take note and say to yourself, am I really living my life as a full, bona fide Christian as I say I am? And I'll guarantee you most of us will sit down and go, no, I'm not. I only live it on Sunday. The rest of the week, I'm doing my own thing, my own way. As I started reading this yesterday and studying this and going over what I was going to preach, and the Lord laid this on my heart this morning, I think that sometimes we don't understand the concept of what God has for us. This text is really called this in those two verses. It's called the perfect will of God, okay? The perfect will of God for your life today. I can look at here and I can ask this question. How many of us sitting here this morning are perfect? Okay, thank you. I know we're not. We're a long ways from it. You and I will never, ever be perfect in this life. The only time that we will ever change and have perfection in our lives as we should is the day we die and go to heaven. In other words, in that resurrected body, in that new person that you will be. The Bible teaches us that when you become a Christian, that old things pass away, all things become new, in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, if you look at your life today, how much of you have changed in your life as a born-again believer? How many of you have things that trouble you all the time, that bother you at certain times? Let me tell you what. None of us in this sanctuary can go by, I don't think, in a whole year and say we don't have a problem. Because problems will come and problems will go. But you are able to overcome whatever comes your way, that the devil throws your way, because Jesus overcame for us to give us a new life. So as we look at these two verses this morning, now I just want you to take to heart this, that this is for God's perfect will for your life and how he wants you to live. So let's stand together in reverence to the reading of God's word as we do each Sunday here at Fairport. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. Now remember this very quickly here. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Remember that. And to be not what? Conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why did he say, I beseech you? He says this, I urge you to make a change. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning already. For the songs we have sung, the lifting of the Spirit today, that this church will be what it should be, a born-again believing church that loves Jesus Christ with heart, mind, and soul, and today will be no different when we come each Sunday to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated this morning. If you go back and study in the book of Romans in chapter 5, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? The first thing you have to understand, where is your peace at this morning? Do you have an inner peace because Christ lives in you? Or is it turmoil that lives in you today? The devil is running rapid in the world today. I talk to people. I visit with people. I see the hurt in their hearts and in their eyes. You know, you can see what's going on with them. And you wonder sometimes, why is it that we as individuals cannot get the concept that we can have peace daily if we remember who Jesus Christ really is? He should be the love of your life just like he's the love of my life. Because he is number one in my life. As I thought the other day in starting out the new year of 2020, I said to myself, I said, Neil, I said, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do this year, but the greatest thing that you can do for yourself is to read more and more of God's Word. So I started reading on Wednesday. I've read the first 40 chapters now of Genesis, and I'm going to finish the Bible this year, within a few months. But I'm doing that for one thing, to help me even grow further in my walk with the Lord, to draw closer and closer to Him. This is something that we as Christians need. We need to have a close, bonding relationship with the Lord today. He says in chapter 8, verse 1, he says, therefore there is now no condemnation really for those who know the Lord. In other words, he says, you have been changed in a mighty way. Your life is not what it used to be. Now you are a new believer. You have a new beginning in life. And as I said just a minute ago about 2 Corinthians 5:17, that you're what? That you are a new creature. Why do people today have a tendency to want to go back to live the way they used to? I thought about that question as I talked to myself a few minutes ago, and I said, you know, I never want to go back and live like I used to. Because back in those days, you know, things weren't as good as I thought they were. Living on the other side of the street is not always the best thing. But when Jesus Christ touched my life and I moved to the other side of where He is at today, things started to change. As I studied the Scripture just a little bit more, as I looked at it yesterday a few times, I said this, Lord, thank you for urging me to be more compassionate and more caring in my Christian walk of life for those around me today. You see, what He wants from us is to really urge us to be steadfast, immovable, as He says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's part of our makeup today as a Christian. And when you think about this, he said, brother, he said, think about the mercies of God. We serve a merciful God. If we did not serve a God of mercy, we wouldn't be here this morning. He has given us so much mercy and so much grace and so much love. And how do we abide to Him and ask Him and say, thank you, Father, for all the love, the grace, the mercy that you've provided for me today? Because He has given us so much, sometimes we become very complacent about how we are to live for the Lord today. What would you like to do in your life this year? What would you like to see happen with you this year? This is what I want to see for this church this year. I want to see it continue to grow in the love of Jesus Christ, number one. Second of all, I want to see you draw closer and closer to the Lord yourself. I want you to walk with Him daily. Bond with Him daily. Fellowship with Him daily, maybe like you've never done before. Take time to remember this, that you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ as a Christian, to share the gospel message wherever you may go. And do not be ashamed, because the Lord walks with you. The Lord gives you the insight of things you need to do, the things you need to say, and the words that you need to speak. But you have to put Him first. But sometimes we have a tendency to do what? Neglect who's first in your life today. We'll start out a new year, and we'll say we'll start out on the right foot. I always remember being in the military all those years in the Navy. And remember when you're in boot camp, where y'all, you're like me, how many of y'all were in the military? You remember when you did cadence? We never started out on the right foot, it was always the left foot. You remember that? And you go left, right, left, right, left, right. Let me tell you what, I like starting out on the right foot, not the wrong foot. That's how I look at life today. But that was the way we did in the military. It was, you know, left, right, you know, that was the cadence. But today when I look at life, I say to myself, I don't want to start on the left side of things. I want to start on the right side. Where's the right side at? The right side is remembering who died on the cross of Calvary, who gave His life to give you life, who continues to live His life sitting on the right hand of God the Father, and who is making intercession for you and will one day come back to take you home. If we cannot get that concept in our lives, then we got a problem in the first place. Because Paul said, I beseech you, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a what? Living sacrifice, okay? I'm alive. Do I sacrifice daily? We think we do in certain areas of life. But let me tell you what does he mean by sacrifice? Sacrifice is willing to die for what Christ has done for you. That is sacrifice. It's not sacrifice when you spend your last dollar on a Coca-Cola or something. I guess it's $5 now, I don't know. Don't buy Coke. What is it that you do? How do you look at yourself? How are you a sacrifice to the Lord today? What have you given up to show the Lord that you will really make a sacrifice in your life for Him? Well, some of you say, well, I'll get up early in the morning. I'll quit smoking. I'll quit taking a drink once a week. I won't use profanity as much as I used to. I'll cut back on that just a little bit. You know, we do all kinds of things. We make all kind of vows and things to the Lord. And then at the end of the day, my friends, you look back over the day and say, well, I failed here, here, and here. Then what do you do? Well, I'll try again tomorrow. And then tomorrow may come and you'll do the same thing. At the end of the day, you look back on your life and you say, what kind of sacrifice did I make for the Lord today? And you'll say, nothing, nothing, and nothing. I failed Him again, again, and again. Why is that? Because we're not true. We're not obedient to the One who has given us life. That's the problem we have. How strong are you in your walk with Jesus? I'm going to ask this over and over again this morning because you need to understand something. Strength comes from above. Strength comes from Jesus Christ. Strength comes from God who has given us the life that we live today. It says that when God created man, what did He do? He breathed in his nostrils what? The gift of life, breath. And that breath that He gave to Adam and to Eve also, my friends, is the same breath you breathe today. He has given us that so that we can be prosperous for Him. He said, remember the mercies of God that He presents your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God? Has God accepted you? God accepts you just like you are when you come to Him and admit you're a sinner. Just like you are. Come as you are, He says. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to put on all that lipstick and all that rouge and stuff, you know, and I'm talking to the men. Okay. You don't have to dress up. He says, come like you are. He said, you're like filthy rags anyway. Admit who you are. Admit you are a sinner. Admit that your life is not what it should be. And start to live your life as a bona fide, born-again believer in Jesus Christ, giving your heart, soul, and all of your body to Him, and being the sacrifice and everything He wants you to be, and being accepting you as you are. Come as you are. When you think about acceptance, this is acceptance. Do I fit into this crowd over here? That's acceptance. Do I fit into that crowd over there? Am I accepted by them? My friends, I don't worry about crowds. I don't worry about being accepted by those outside the church. You want to know why? Because my relationship is not outside the church. My relationship is in the church with God's people, doing what God wants us to do. And by learning God's Word and building on God's foundation, I can take what God has given to me and share with those outside the church the love of Jesus Christ. But I do not have to fall into the devil's trap to do that. You hear me? I do not have to fall into the devil's trap to be accepted by God, my friend. He's accepted me for who I am. He's loved me for who I am. He'll teach me everything He wants me to know. And He'll teach me to go into this world out here, this sin-sick world, and turn my heart and try to turn other hearts to Jesus Christ. You may be here this morning. Maybe you've never really done that. Maybe you've never thought about being accepted by Jesus. This is what the Bible teaches. He says, I'm knocking at the door. He said, all you have to do is open up your heart and welcome me in, and I will come in unto you, and I will receive you where you are and where I am, is what He says. There's nothing hard about it. But we make it hard because we don't like to make decisions that will make a change in our life. My friends, if you don't change for Jesus Christ, guess what? Hell awaits you. And nobody is to blame but you. You can cry till you're blue in the face, and you will never, ever leave that place. It's a place of torture. It's a place where it says this, there will be no light for you. There will only be darkness in that place. The fire will burn forever and ever. It says the worm will not die. Things will happen like you never thought about before. And the Bible only gives us a small glimpse of what hell is like. And let me ask you this. Would you rather have those mansions in heaven than to have a place in hell of darkness? Would you rather stand before God's throne of grace and see God's glory and manifested above? Or would you rather see the devil down there laughing at you day after day after day saying, you fool. You fool. I know where I'm going to go. I know what my life is all about. I know that I've been accepted by Him. I know it's by His mercy and by His grace that I have been saved. I know that one day I will stand before Him in all of His glory, just like Isaiah saw Him when he was high and lifted up and saw the Lord's train fill the temple. Just like John the Revelator said he was caught up in the Spirit, he said, and he saw the Lord also high and lifted up. It's just like Paul when he was left on the road dead at some time, he said, whether in the Spirit or out of the Spirit or in the body or out of the body, he said, the Lord showed me mighty things that I was not to speak. Let me tell you what, He has given us His Word that He is coming one day, that we're going to be a part of the relationship one day, but you got to have Christ in your life first. Bottom line. I beseech you, I urge you this morning to look at yourself. And by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies with a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. What does he mean by reasonable service? That you're willing to surrender your all to be part of the relationship of Jesus Christ. We can sing the song, I surrender all to Him I owe. Let me ask you a question. When you're singing, are you just giving lip service? Or do you understand it? The last time you surrendered everything you had to Jesus Christ? When was the last time you gave everything you had, everything about you to Christ? Say, Lord, I am here, use me. Be an instrument for you. I say, we don't want to hear that, do we? No, preacher, I don't care about that, because if I do that, I've got to do something for Jesus. Let me ask you this question. If Jesus hadn't died for your sins, where would you be today? If He hadn't gone to the cross of Calvary, where would you be today? What kind of suffering did He go through for you today? He gave it all so that you and I can have eternal life. I cannot stress that enough to you as individuals. See, we sit here on Sunday like a bump on a log. You know what that's like, don't you? Huh? That's how we sit here on Sunday. Not worried too much about what's going to happen at the end of the day. Let me tell you what. You may not be here at the end of this day because your day may end today. You have no idea where you're going to be in the next 30 seconds. It's all in God's hand, not yours. It's right here He has you. And it's right here. It's when He'll call you home when He's ready for you. He will take you at the time it's designed to take you home. Somebody asked me the other day, how long are you going to preach? I said, until I fall over, they have to carry me out, you know. Yeah, sure. Can you believe the preacher died in the pulpit? We won't get nobody to preach in this pulpit anymore. Let me tell you what. You know? God's always got a replacement. You ever notice? God's always got a replacement. It doesn't make any difference who's up here. The most important thing about being in this pulpit is this. You preach Jesus Christ or don't come in and preach. See? That's what He says here. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be willing to be submissive to Him. To surrender your all to Him. You know, Paul was very direct when he talked about the gospel message. He said it in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and I go on to Jews and the Greeks and all the rest. Let me tell you what. If you're ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that you're ashamed of Jesus Christ. If you're ashamed of Him, my friends, you've got a problem in the first place because you don't know Him. Never be ashamed of the one who has given so much so that we could have everything. And that's life eternal. Look at verse 2. Now this one really comes and captivates my mind this morning. Be not conformed to this world. That's a tough one, isn't it? Do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't fit in. How many of y'all used to fit into the world? Come on, get them up there. Come on. Don't lie to me. I know we do. We fit in real well. I used to fit into this world real good. You know, somebody said, go drink a beer. Let's go. You know, smoke a pack of cigarettes. Smoke two. Yeah, that was my life over. For those who don't know me, that are visiting today, I was a military man for 22 years in the Navy. You know, I was one of those, you know, what they say, you know, fuss, cuss, fight. I did all those things, too. I got in a lot of trouble. But I was just blessed enough that God saw fit to use me in the ministry now after I retired. Praise the Lord for that. But the fact is this. It's so easy to be conformed to the world than to be transformed from the world. You want to know why? Because we think when we're doing what the world is doing over there that it's okay. I didn't realize it wasn't okay until I became a Christian. I found out it was not okay, that I was being a fool living in the life over here. I remember this. This is one thing I always remember about military. And some of y'all can relate to this, John, and a few of you here. You go to the club at night, right? You go to clubs, right? That's what we used to do. Go to the club. We go at lunchtime to the club. You know, then we go back to work. You work after you go to the club. You know, you do that. You know? And we'd go to the club, and we'd come back, you know, and we'd fit right in, you know. I could work just as well drunk as I could sober back in those days, right? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Raise your hand. Shake your head. Yeah, that's how we were. But see, we did that because we fit in. But have you ever noticed where your friends are? Huh? You sit at a club, and you fit in with the group, right? This guy over here, he'll buy a round. And this one buy a round. Then it gets to you, and you buy a round. And you're hoping that they're all buying a round before they get back to you, because you don't want to buy any more rounds, right? That's how it goes. And when the money runs out, guess what? The friends run out. Have you ever noticed that? When you are conformed to this world, when things aren't there, the money and stuff that you are providing for everybody else to be there, to be in their group, guess what they do? They all scatter, just like that. And you want to say, where did my friends go to? I'm going to give you a clear answer. They weren't your friends in the first place. Amen? They were just users using you up. That's what they did. Now, what does the scripture say? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Now, transformation is hard, okay? Some of y'all do a good job on Sunday morning transforming, okay? Yeah. Transformation. I love to think about transformation. When you get saved, and you're in church, right? And you get saved. Well, you're in church, out of church, at home, wherever you had. I was at home when I got saved. The fact was, the next time that I was in a group of people, the next time it was like this. You walk in, you're all happy, you feel good. They said, what are you so happy about today? Jesus is in my life. And they look at you, boy, and it's just like this. Do what? What do you mean Jesus is in your life? Jesus is in my life. You know, he touched me, he changed me, he moved in me, you know. Not you. You know, you know what I'm talking about. Not you, you know. And you think about it for a minute, not you. You couldn't be you getting saved, you know. Jesus didn't touch your life. Then after a while, they noticed something. There was a transformation. You were not living like you did before. Things had cleaned up. Your vocabulary cleaned up. You didn't drink and smoke no more. You didn't harass people anymore. You didn't command people anymore. You became a nice person. That was hard for me. But I have to remember one thing. He gave me the opportunity to transform me into something better. A better person. A better Christian. A better father. A better husband. A better friend. I mean, all these things came about in transformation. And see, that's what we need more of today. We need more people being transformed from what they used to be to something new today to something even better tomorrow. The problem is the world is trying to transform us to follow them, and we should be doing just the opposite. And we're losing the battle very fast. You know why? Because we don't know how to tell people who Christ really is. You understand that? Look at the verse with me again. Because I want to get to the last part of this. He said this. Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, here it comes, perfect will of God. Okay? Now, if you look at those last few words, think about this for just a minute. He said this, to prove what is that is good. What is good? God is good all the time. All the time God is good. Amen? That's what's good. Jesus Christ is what? He is good. Your salvation is the greatest thing that you will ever have in this life, and it was a free gift God gave you. It didn't cost you a dime. It's a free gift. It's good to be saved, right? It's acceptable in God's eyes that you accept Him for who He is. Have you really accepted that? Look what He says. I like this part here. They prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is God's perfect will for your life? To live every day 100% the Christian walk. That's what it's all about. 100% Christian walk? Well, I can do about 50%. It's that other 50 that gets me, you know. Or I can live 85%, and the rest of it gets me, you know, the other 15%. He said, I can live part of it, but boy, living that whole thing every single day, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard for a preacher to live, my friends, 100% every day. You want to know why? Because the devil is out there roaring like the lion he is, trying to suck us into his way. And boy, we have a tendency to listen real well to what he tells us. And he can make it paint a picture that's so pretty that you think you're getting a steak dinner when all you're going to get is a TV dinner. You're not going to get a steak dinner. He's going to hurt you. And that's what he's out here doing today, day after day after day after day. Don't let Satan defeat you, because he's already been defeated by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, on the cross of Calvary when he defeated death, hell, and the grave and gave us victory, it says. And he took the keys from Satan, it says. And he's given us a new life. But we have to be focused on him, and not on what's around here in our circumstances. We've got to get those behind us. We've got to get our life before us to Jesus Christ and to live our lives for the purpose he has given us to live. You might be here this morning and maybe you're having those difficulties. Maybe things aren't the way you think they should be. Let me tell you this. The best thing that you can do is to bring it to Jesus. Get at this altar and pray. Seek his face, as the Bible tells us. And to turn your life from where it is to where it needs to be. And living a good life for Jesus Christ. But what will happen every Sunday after Sunday? We'll sit right in our seats of complacency. And we wouldn't move if dynamite tried to blow us off the seat. Because I don't want anybody to think I've got a problem. My friends, we all got problems. And you need to take them to Jesus Christ every single day. And without him in your life and putting on God's armor every day, my friends, you are defeated already. You can only beat what Satan throws at you with this right here. Why? Because he has given us an abundant life to live. And the life he has given me to live is better than anything that the devil can throw at me or the world can throw at me. Because he opens my heart to receive the precious word called the Bible. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, with your reasonable service. And to what? Be not conformed by this world, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you right here in this church this morning. If you've got anything in your life that's not right, I want you to take an opportunity to bring it to him today. You don't have to sit in that seat and say, I can wait till I get home. Or I can wait till I'm somewhere else. Let me tell you what. This is the day of Jesus Christ. This is the day of our Lord and Savior. And this is the day to take it to him right now. In his name. In the name of Jesus. The name that is above all names. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. He is, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of our life, that will give you life like you've never had before.